Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. Some of you have probably heard the ridiculous story about the man who was refused entry into a fancy restaurant because he wasn't wearing a tie. The doorman sent him away with instructions to return if and only if he had a tie wrapped around his neck. So the fellow rummaged through his car, but couldn't find a necktie. However, he did find a pair of jumper cables in the trunk. So he decided to fashion a necktie from those jumper cables. The man then returned to the door of the restaurant. The doorman saw those jumper cables around the man's neck and realized that technically they could serve as a tie. So he said, "Well, I guess you can come in." But then he added, "Just don't start anything." I know, that's a bad joke. But here is where we want to begin our message today. The people in history who have most impacted our lives were people who were determined to start something. Nearly 2,000 years before the time of Jesus, God came to a man named Abram and gave him a command and a promise. Abram was to go from the land of his father to a land that God would show him. And God would cause him to father a great nation. And then we read one of the most important statements in all literature. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Did I mention that Abram was 75 years old when God first approached him? And yet with God's leading, Abram started something, a new people, a new nation. This, by the way, is what faith is. God speaks and we obey. God speaks, and we get into action. Sometimes that is all that is needed. Our biggest obstacle is far too often ourselves. We just simply need to get moving. Recently, I read about Henry Brown, who was a slave in Richmond, Virginia, who decided he didn't want to be a slave anymore. But this was 1856, so what was he to do? Runaway slaves could be hung. That's pretty good motivation to do nothing, if you ask me. But doing nothing was not an option for Henry Brown. So Henry Brown found a wooden crate, just large enough for him to crawl inside. He did so after postmarking that crate to an abolitionist in Philadelphia. He got inside the box then, sealed the box from inside, and was therefore mailed to freedom. It took almost 3 weeks for the abolitionist to get the crate. How Brown survived, we do not know. But when the abolitionist lifted the lid of that crate, Henry Brown stood up and said, "How do you do, sir? My name is Henry Brown, and I was a slave. I heard about you being an abolitionist, so I'm entrusting my future to you." Sometimes what is important is to simply get moving. God speaks, and we act. Today's lesson takes place nearly 25 years after God first called Abram. Abram is now 99 years old. He's no spring chicken. He has followed the Lord's leading from the time the Lord first called him. But the Lord has been slow to reward Abram's faith. Abram and his wife, Sarai, are still childless. How can Abram father a great nation when he and his wife can't produce a single heir? That's faith too. Patience, persistence, trust. Surely Abram and Sarai were ready to give up. Nearly 25 years and no return on their investment. When do you cut your losses? When do you say it was all an illusion, that the promise just didn't pan out? That could have been their attitude. But instead, these two miraculously crazy people chose to trust God. And the Lord appears to Abram again. The Lord reaffirms that promise of long ago. And of course, God kept his promise. At 90 years of age, Sarah bore a son. And from that son came countless heirs to Abraham, both physical descendants and spiritual descendants, of whom you and I are numbered. And those descendants have impacted the world in a mighty way. It is an amazing story. There are some lessons from Abraham and Sarah's life that you and I need to see. That first lesson is that our timetable may not be God's timetable. As someone has put it, God's promise is delayed are not God's promises denied. Dr. Ray Pritchard gives us a humorous chronology of the 25 years between the first time God promised Abraham and Sarah offspring and the time when that promise was fulfilled. At age 76, Abraham buys a crib. At age 78, Abraham and Sarah make a list of possible boy names. At age 80, they order a supply of super absorbent Pampers. At age 85, Abraham goes hunting while Sarah's friends give her a baby shower. At age 86, they put up wallpaper in the baby's room. At age 90, they subscribe to New Parent magazine. At age 93, Abraham and Sarah start Lamaze classes. At age 96, Abraham drives a practice run to the hospital. At age 98, Abraham packs a suitcase and sets it by the door to their tent. At age 99, Abraham scratches his head and says, "I wonder if God was just kidding." I think I would have decided that God was kidding by then. But I'm not Abraham, and nor are you. I'm a bit impatient, and I suspect so are you. None of us like waiting. We go impatient, even with God. And yet God is faithful to God's promises. We shall yet be rewarded if we do not grow weary. Our timetable is not the same as God's timetable. God's promises delayed are not God's promises denied. But there is a second thing that we need to see about Abraham and Sarah's life. God's purposes are grander than our imaginations can envision. Abraham and Sarah had dreams for their lives, just as you and I have dreams. They dreamed about where they would live and the kind of work they would do. They dreamed about children, and I suspect they dreamed about grandchildren. However, do you think in a million years that Abraham and Sarah ever dreamed that they would be here with us today in our church nearly 3,000 years later, and we're telling their personal story? Not only that, do you think they imagined that billions of Christians and Muslims and Jews would be telling their story all over the world? You see, they could not see that their lives were part of a grander purpose that existed in the mind of God. For it was through this elderly couple that God blessed the world in a unique and eternal way. You and I, we think way too small. If we could only imagine what God can do with our lives. God let Abraham and Sarah be the founders of not just Christianity, but Judaism and Islam as well. Imagine if you and I could dream the dream that God could dream, what might God do with our lives? God has imagined greater things for our lives than we can ever envision. We simply need to trust. God's timetable is not our timetable. God's purposes are greater than our minds can possibly imagine. There is one more thing yet I think we need to see. It is in trusting God that our lives find the greatest fulfillment. Following Christ is not just about building God's kingdom. It's also about discovering abundant life for ourselves. What I'm saying to you is this. When you follow God's leadership, you do not only play a part in God's great plan for creation, but you find the most fulfilling life for yourself as well. Abraham and Sarah did as God commanded, and God rewarded them far beyond their wildest dreams. Not as quickly as they might have thought. God's timetable is not our timetable. But God rewarded them far beyond anything they could have ever imagined. They became a blessing to the entire world. They were the source of not one, not two, but three faith streams. And they had a rich and fulfilling life as well. So can we, my friends. So can we. Amen.